Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting once again in the middle of the mitten from the Black Diamond Group mothership in a nutrient green field, Craig Russell.
I know. It's amazing.
I just try to say that all in one breath, and I think I accomplished it.
This week. Like other weeks, you don't. You know, you have issues with that, but this week you got it all out.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show with my handsome and talented co-host, Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle. 5 days a week, including Saturday, equals six.
That's what I've been told. I'm terrible at math, but 5 + 1 = 6.
I still use an abacus, by the way.
Which is good to know in the days of computers and stuff.
We have a huge show. You can hear huge.
It's possibly the biggest show ever.
This show,
is it possible?
This show is going to be bigger than... Well, any show we've ever done with Little John, and we love Little John.
Oh, yeah.
And Little John's coming back on the show.
But this show's huge.
This show's going to be huge. In studio, we have a special guest.
Yeah. It's Corrine. Hi, Corrine.
Hi, Corrine. How you doing?
Very happy to be in the middle of the green field with you two.
It is a green field. There's no way around it.
So who's Corrine?
Corrine works for the radio station.
Yeah, Black Diamond Group.
Yep, she's the hostess with the mostest.
Yeah, she's great. She's been representing my interests through the station for... Years.
Literally.
Years. Literally
possibly
years.
A decade? Close to a decade?
About 8 to 10 years. Yeah. Years. Can you hear my voice?
You sound a little wore out. What is up with you? What is your deal?
A week ago yesterday.
Okay.
I was up in Marquette for 3 days.
All right. UP. Yep.
The UP, otherwise known as the state of Superior.
Upper Peninsula. 51st state.
The Oar to Shore epic bike race took place.
The Oar to Shore.
Oar to Shore.
What is that all about?
The Oar to Shore has been going on for more than a decade.
Okay.
The Tuma family, no relation to the Tumas in Mount Pleasant, but just as equally a great family. The Tumas in Mount Pleasant, I used to go to the Embers. Great family, great people. Yeah. I miss that food. You can still get it at the football stadium in Mount Pleasant.
But it's not the same family.
But the Tumas... I think it's about 18 years ago. I could be wrong. 17, 18 years ago, maybe a little less more, created this bike race in Marquette called the Oar to Shore because it's oar country.
Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, now it makes sense.
Thousands of people come from all over the Midwest. It starts, and you can do the 48-mile hard rock, the 28-mile soft rock. There's a 10-mile, a 4-mile, and a 1-mile for the little kids.
Okay.
It's one of the great, other than the Iceman, I think it's one of the greatest family events out there, if not the greatest.
You did the 48 mile, correct?
I do the 48. Starts in Nagani.
Okay.
And private landowners, and I want to thank them, open up their property just for this race. All right. Starts in Nagani, you go through Ishpeming, and it's just up and down, thousands of feet of elevation. It's just amazing. So, and it had rained a few days prior to the race, but the day of the race, it was pure Michigan, pure sun, no clouds, but there were ore puddles everywhere.
Is an ore puddle different than a regular water puddle?
Well, the ore dust.
Okay.
The sand up there, is the ground is full of ore.
Okay.
So when there's puddles in that part of the state, it's red puddles. So really? As you're biking, you're going through these puddles and you're just caked in ore. It's part of the adventure. But after 48 miles of shredding the gnar, I finished the race and I'm just still recovering.
I was just saying, you were whooped. Whooped.
I lost my voice, but I'm back at it. But the great thing about this race is you end up racing with men and women who are at your level.
Okay.
So for the 48 hours, however, 48 miles, however long it takes you, and the pros do it in like 2 hours and 20 minutes. My goal each year is to finish below 4 hours.
Did you accomplish that?
No.
Okay.
Because of the ore and the puddles.
But you did finish.
I did finish.
Okay, good.
4:08 this year.
That's
I was
bad.
About 20 minutes off my normal time. But you bike with people who are from Illinois, Indiana. I was with a group from Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
I'd say 60-70% of the racers are from Wisconsin.
Well, that's, you know, Wisconsin's not far from the Upper Peninsula and that whole area.
Big shout out to the Olson family from Wisconsin. Tina, her mother and father, Bill and Martha. The greatest people. They were parked next to me in the morning when we were all getting ready. Big shout out to them. The thing about people from Wisconsin, if let's just say, for instance, Michigan was a planet by itself.
Okay.
And for hundreds of years, astronomers are searching the solar system for Michigan-like planets.
Okay.
With people who are similar or life that is similar to us.
Okay.
Out of all the 50 states, if we found Wisconsin, I feel that the people from Wisconsin are more closely reflect Michiganders than any other state that borders the state as far as their enthusiasm for the outdoors, the way the state is,
right.
as it sits on the Great Lakes up there, the biking, the hunting, the fishing, the outdoor, just their overall attitude, their passion. Wisconsin, if we discovered Wisconsin, we'd say, oh my goodness, we found a planet. We'll call it Wisconsin. They're just like us Michiganders. Big shout out to
the
Wisconsin and the Olsons.
Now, it's funny. You can't say Wisconsin. You have to say Wisconsin.
They don't even talk like that.
I know. But you can never say just Wisconsin. You have to say Wisconsin.
And, you know,
that, I think, offends people from Wisconsin.
They're all and in the UP, they're all Packer fans.
I know. That's where I was going to say. There's the main difference between people from Michigan and people from Wisconsin. People from Wisconsin have been treated to a lot better football over the years. Other sports, maybe not so much, you know, but football, I'd say Wisconsin, or as you say, Wisconsin. Now, maybe not college football. Wisconsin college football isn't necessarily as good as Michigan college football, but definitely.
They would beg to differ because the Badgers have had some great teams in the Big Ten over the years, but I'm a huge Michigan fan. Fire up chips. We went to Central.
Right.
But the Badgers, they put on a great fight for the Big Ten each year.
They do, but you got to think about it. Michigan has two teams in the Big Ten that have put up great fights. Sometimes in the same year, they're really good.
That's why the planet Michigan is a much better planet to be residing on right here in the middle of the Mitten. Pure Michigan, baby.
We're going to start a war with Wisconsin, aren't we?
No, I love it, but the race was great.
Okay, good.
Thousands of people. And as you're biking mile after mile after mile, shredding through, you know, ore country and Misery Hill, up and down and around. I mean, there was carnage everywhere. Homeowners and volunteers are along the race course in the backcountry, and there's aid stations where they give you energy and Gatorade and bananas. Some of the homeowners will actually serve you beer.
Oh, wow.
And they ring cowbells. If you've never done a race like that, go see a race like that. But they had little award ceremonies for 1 to 5 year olds.
Oh, that's cool.
I got beat. You ready for this? By a 72-year-old man.
Oh, that was not what I thought you were going to say.
No, I got beat by someone who rides for the Freewheelers out of Grand Rapids.
Okay, good. So, I thought you were going to say you got beat by a 7-year-old. That would have been a little discouraging.
No, no, no. But hey, I also, this is a law show.
We have a lot to get to.
We're going to talk about, speaking about outdoors and Michigan and adventure, we have a story about a great company, M22.
Okay,
it's M22.com.
Yep.
Great company, great brand. Great men and women who run this company. So we have a story about M22 and the state of Michigan going after M22 for trademark infringement.
Yeah.
And the University of Michigan also plays into this.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
We have an update from the Michigan Supreme Court regarding drinking and driving laws in Michigan. You have to hear this one.
Okay.
It's unreal. So we got a lot to talk about during the show.
Well, we should probably take a break and get to that law. How about that?
Before we do, okay, I just want to give a shout out to all the farmers.
Okay.
Have you noticed, because you live up in mid-Michigan before we go to break here, I've noticed, and I know nothing about farming.
Okay.
I never knew there was a difference between sweet corn and field corn. I thought it all looked the same. I had no idea there were, you know, milk cows versus beef cows. No idea. But the corn stalks look so healthy this year.
Well, we've had a lot of rain.
No, but have you? They look green. They look tall. I mean, knee high by the 4th of July.
Yep.
These things are huge right now. But the corn, the farms, everything looks so plentiful in this beautiful green, pure Michigan. Look at our field.
I mean, yeah, that is one of the best things about this state. We have so many different kinds of agriculture that happen in this state. You know, some states are known for certain things. Iowa, corn. That is what they're known for. 80% of the country's corn comes from Iowa. Other states are known for that thing. Michigan has such a bounty because of our, not only our topography, but also the ecology of the state, just because of the different patterns. You know, between Traverse City area up north, you can grow more grapes, things like that. You, between lower Michigan, where they grew more celery and more sugar and beets and things like that. Mid Michigan, wheat and everything, plus the cattle industry.
Did you say weed or wheat?
Wheat.
Okay.
Not weed.
Sorry, I have ore that in my ears. But listen, the harvests, speaking of cannabis, have been plentiful across the state this year. Yeah. But no, I just want to give a big shout out to all the farmers out there, all the growers. I was coming to my office last week in Mount Pleasant, and a plane swooped right over my truck. And I'm thinking, wow, what was that, an alien? I had no idea. I mean, it was really low. It was a crop plane.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you something. These men and women, I had no idea who was flying. It was yellow. Phenomenal pilots. I mean, have you ever seen a crop plane?
I have.
No, I mean, literally fly over your vehicle? Yeah. It was like Star Wars. It was crazy.
Crazy.
No, it's crazy.
But they do a great job. And of course, you know, what would we eat if it wasn't for farmers?
Yeah.
We wouldn't eat anything, you know? Between the corn that makes the corn flakes from Battle Creek, between the milk that they make, Michigan milk and cheese, and the beef and everything.
We have some great farmers all across the state of Michigan and the Upper Peninsula as well.
Oh, yeah.
More farms below the bridge. I learned something about corn that Jennifer Woodruff, otherwise known as Jennifer Arndt from Prescott area. Eugene, her father, is a fan of the show, but Jennifer works with Jackie and I.
Okay.
She loves to fish, and she told me that she fishes with corn, and she catches monster fish with corn. I would never know. I don't fish like that.
I would have never known.
I'll have to ask Larry. Lori and Larry.
Okay.
My sister Lori and Larry. I'll have to ask Larry about that. He's a big fisherman, too.
I've never known that.
I didn't know you could fish with corn.
And that is another part of our state that is very plentiful, too, is the fishing industry as well.
No idea.
You can't get that in, you go to South Dakota, they don't do fishing.
Nah.
You go to Oklahoma, no fishing going on there. Michigan, fishing. Plus all the agriculture and everything. We are a wonderful state.
Duran Duran, great song to open a show.
Are you ready? Here we go.
Here we go.
Please, please tell me now. Please, please tell me now. Please, please tell me now.
We have to go to break. We have a lot to get to right here on the Title Levitt Law Show with Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle. We'll be right back.
Please, please tell me now. 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 Please, please tell me now.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you're just tuning in for the first time, we broadcast each and every Sunday morning, Craig, from what time and where at?
8 to 9 on 98.5 UPS, also Rock 105 and Rock 95.5 out of Traverse City and Sheboygan. We just rock.
Nonstop.
24 hours. No, I don't.
But we also podcast. We All say over. It every week on iTunes. It's free.
Right.
Podbean, yep. Which is a great platform, podbean.com. Right. You can subscribe, and it's free, or not subscribe. SoundCloud, Google Play, and Radio FM.
But you can hear
five
us everywhere.
Platforms.
Everywhere and anywhere.
Anywhere
We're
and
taking
everywhere.
Over the continent.
Let's talk about the law.
Sounds like a good idea. This is a law show.
This is a really interesting story.
Okay.
There's a great company, M22.com.
Yes.
Great apparel. I mean, great accessories. I mean, just great products.
Leland, very popular in Leland on Peninsula, that area.
They do, not only is it a great company run by, you know, great people, founded by great individuals, but they give back so much. They have the M22 Challenge. They donate funds to, you know, conservancies over there off M22. They do so much good. They give so much back.
Yes.
The state of Michigan sued M22, arguing that they violated the state's trademark rights because M22 is
a state highway.
A state highway with the sign M22. We have M20, right. 131. But M22 is what you see in all their branding, the state sign.
Is the state sign.
So at first glance, if I told you there was a company out there that is using a state sign and the state sued them for trademark infringements, what would you think?
I would think that's a hard one to prove because I can't believe that the state can trademark something like a road sign. I don't know. You don't see a registered trademark symbol. You never see the TM symbol anywhere on state property. You see it for Pure Michigan. You see it for things like that, but you don't see it on road signs. If you see a green sign that says, you know, exit here, Mission Street, it doesn't have a little trademark on it for someone, you know. So I would argue that they would have a hard time holding them in court because they don't necessarily trademark the name of state roads.
Let's define what a trademark is.
Okay.
Okay. A symbol could be a sound, a scent, anything that identifies or indicates the origin of goods or services. It's recognizable. It's expression. It's a word. It's a phrase. It's a symbol. And again, it identifies and distinguishes the source of the goods of one party from those of others.
Sure.
It's clearly identifiable. There's also a service mark, which is a word, a phrase, a symbol, or design that identifies or distinguishes the source of a service rather than goods. Service mark is services. Trademark, symbol, phrase, word.
A great story of this is the Coca-Cola company back in the 1920s and 30s. Back then, there were all kinds of different beverages and products out there that used the words, in some respect, Coca or Cola. There was, you know, Coke Cola drink, and it was all spelled with K's and everything. And in every one of them, the Coca-Cola company sued and won. Behind the scenes, the Coca-Cola company paid these people off to build up their trademark. So nobody tries to use the words Coke and Cola or Coca-Cola anymore because they know they would lose. For M22, a state road sign, does the
M22 launched its business in 2004.
Okay.
In 2006, it filed with the federal government to trademark the symbol M22. In 2007, the mark was granted by the federal government.
Okay.
Now, you have 5 years when you and I'm not a trademark patent attorney, so right. I'm just skimming the boundaries here.
Okay.
But once you have a mark or service mark registered, there's a 5-year period where somebody has to oppose the registration.
Okay.
Now, again, M22, the company, great company, M22.com, check it out, filed this trademark. It was granted in 2007. 5 years went by. The state of Michigan didn't file any action against them. Nobody did.
And they could have.
They could have. And again, let me just state this. M22.com took the M22 sign out of the public domain.
Right.
It was in the public domain. And we could talk about what is in the public domain later. It didn't belong to anybody. It was in the public domain. Just like the University of Michigan. I bet you didn't know this, or the listeners. The University of Michigan has a trademark on the word Michigan. That's a fact.
Really?
Absolutely. That is a fact.
See, now I could see them having a trademark on the big block M because that signifies the University of Michigan. And I'm sure there's probably plenty of times you see the little registered trademark next to the big block M. But I wouldn't know they would have had the name Michigan trademarked. What does the state of Michigan do about this?
Michigan, again, it was in a public domain. M22, by the way, has a great law firm that represents its interest, Revision Legal, John DiGiacomo.
Okay.
Probably, John's a great lawyer. Revision Legal, look it up if you want trademark, patent law, corporate law. I would refer to them. There's a great video on YouTube about the M22 case.
Okay.
So just go to M22/legal. You can see the video. We're talking about M22, the state of Michigan, sued and is suing. I'll have to look at the status, is suing, you know, M22 because they feel it's a trademark infringement on the state. Again, you know, M22 filed in 2006. It was their trademark was granted 2007. A number of years went by, more than 5 years went by for anybody to oppose it. Nobody opposed it. So then it became incontestable. Nobody could contest it at that point. Now, the state of Michigan, after the 5 years, you know, some years later, fast forward to now, a few years back, is bringing a lawsuit against M22.
Now, my question would be...
Let me tell you why.
Tell me why.
How it all started.
Okay.
There were other individuals out there, according to, you know, Revision Legal and the video and my information, that tried to trademark, like, M119 and then another Michigan sign. Once they filed with the federal government said the likelihood of confusion is too strong and denied their petition. Well, one of the individuals who was filing for one of these trademarks was a campaign donor to the attorney general in Michigan. Exactly.
Now it's all starting to become crystal clear.
Let me just say this, okay? M22 is safe. Great company, M22.com. This is not a solicitation, just a great company.
Right.
I wear their brands. I love racing with their brands. I love M22 clothing, apparel, great stuff. It's the federal government. If you've learned anything from listening to the Todd Levitt Law Show, federal law trumps state law. I feel that there's no way the state government and our attorney general, who I respect, I have friends who work for the attorney general's office.
Okay.
I respect attorney Schutte, but I disagree with them on this. They have no jurisdiction to tell a company who got approved for a trademark from the federal government that they're infringing on the state. The federal government trumps, no pun intended, for our president, trumps state.
As we've talked about this before many times with cannabis law and other kinds of law, that the federal government supersedes the state law. Now, my question is it right for M22 to profit off of using a sign or a symbol in the public domain?
Anybody could take a symbol that's in the public domain and trademark it. This is what they did. That's what Michigan did. University of Michigan trademark it. Now, you are obligated, if you have trademark rights, you are obligated to pursue any and all individuals out there who are infringing on your trademark. You must send them a cease and desist letter or you will lose your trademark rights. You can't just sit on a trademark. You have to go after people. Now, here's an example. Let's say Craig Russell, your name was in the public domain, and you, as Craig Russell, said, hey, that's my name. It's in public. I'm going to trademark it. Now, Corinne, who's sitting in our studio here, she starts manufacturing clothes and products using Craig Russell's name.
Sure.
You have a trademark to it.
Right.
The quality of her Craig Russell clothing and material is poor quality. And people are purchasing poor quality. She's affecting your brand. So you have to go after her and send her a cease and desist letter.
Or I have to work out some kind of agreement with her and say, I need 50 cents on every dollar of what you owe, what you make to cover my interests in this for you dragging my name through the mud.
Now that's according to the law. Now, should trademarks, do they all have to be registered? No, it's not mandatory. You can establish common law rights in a mark, you know, based solely on the use of the mark in commerce without a registration. However, though, I would say, and I'm not a trademark patent lawyer, federal registration of a trademark, you know, with the United States Patent Trademark Office has several advantages, including notice to the public of the registrant's claim of ownership of the mark, a legal presumption of ownership nationwide, and the exclusive right to use the mark on or in connection with the goods or services set forth, Craig, in your registration. Have you ever seen, if you look at a product, everybody out there right now, if you're at a restaurant, you're at home, grab a product, look at a ketchup bottle, look at anything, and you'll see an R with a circle around it.
Yeah.
That indicates that it's a registered trademark.
Sure.
What if you see a TM?
That's just a trademark.
No, that's you can use the TM because it gives constructive notice that you're in the process of registering it as a federal trademark. There's also an SM for service mark. It's on everything out there. So the end result, M22.com, great company. I believe that, you know, they may have prevailed. They will prevail in holding on to their M22 logo brand. The state of Michigan will have no recourse against saying that they're infringing when something is in the public domain.
Now, I have a couple of different ways. One thing you bring up, Corrine, using my name in a product. There's another one that I can bring up with that.
Uncle Sam, public domain.
Close.
The picture of Uncle Sam.
But also, I'm going to bring up something that I know a little more about, too, which is music copywriting law. We'll talk about that after the break on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong, Craig and Corrine, with Duran Duran.
Double D. Love him. Love it.
People call me Double D. T-O-double-D. All my fraternity brothers. Did you know that?
You're the Todd father.
Whoa.
Like that?
I like that.
Now, you can't use that, though.
That's great. I'm going to trademark
that. No, you can't. It's already been trademarked by a guy named Todd Frazier, who's a Major League Baseball player. His nickname on social media is the Todd Father.
Do we have to pay him now because you just used that on the air?
I just told people that was the name, but you would have to pay him to use.
We're talking about trademark infringement. We were discussing M22.com, great company. Check it out. I purchase their products. I wear their products. They give so much back to the community, the state of Michigan, conservancies. They're just not a corporation. They truly, you know, back what they stand for. They're being sued by the state of Michigan. State of Michigan's claiming trademark infringement. M22 took the name M22 out of the public domain. And if you miss any part of the show, you'll have to catch it on podcast.
Yes.
But we have a question from someone in the studio audience.
We have a studio audience? Really? Wow. It's Corrine. What's your question, Corrine?
My question is, if I am manufacturing clothing using your name,
okay,
what would happen if you decided to A, make a joint deal with me? Could you do that, number one? Or if you sued me for trademark infringement?
I would think I'd be able to make a deal. I could cut a deal with you. If you're going to use my name to create clothing, I would say I want a piece of the action for you to allow to keep using the name.
It's called a license.
Right.
So often vendors will seek a license from corporations to sell their clothing and their mark at events, public functions,
sure,
all over the country. If Corrine is infringing on your trademark, there's a number of things that can happen. If you, Craig, as the trademark owner, if you're able to prove infringement against her, we're talking about remedies under the law.
Right.
A court order, it's called an injunction, that she will have to stop using the accused mark. So immediately, you hire an attorney who specializes in trademark patent law. I do not do that. So don't rely on anything I'm saying on this show. You can call my office. I'll refer you to a trademark attorney.
Sure.
And I know a number of great ones. Court order injunction. It stops you. You're enjoining someone from doing something. You're asking the judge, stop.
I'm going to stop her from selling clothes
while the case,
my name.
And then she has a right to file an objection to the injunction. I'm not going to get into all that. An order requiring the destruction or forfeiture of the infringing articles. So the court could also order her, because she's infringing on your mark, to destroy all the articles. Monetary relief, including profits from, you know, her business, any damages sustained by you, and the cost of this action, and an order that she, in certain cases, pay her attorney fees. So trademark infringement, very serious. And because we're in the age, and we have been, of the internet, and everybody using everybody's photos and pictures, that's a whole nother show.
Well, now here's my question, though. If I don't have my name trademarked, I'm just me, Craig Russell, she could use that without any recourse because it's not in the public domain. It's just my name.
Likelihood of confusion. So you don't have to register a trademark, but if she's using the name Craig Russell for anything that has to do with the business you're in and there's a likelihood of confusion to the public, then you may be able to, again, I'm not a trademark attorney.
Right.
Bring forth some kind of action against her because you are a personality. Your name does make you a living. True. And now she's using it as if she's you in the public domain, profiting. What if she was selling t-shirts with your name and it had a little radio moniker on them? That's confusing to me. If she went into the pickle business, the Craig Russell pickle jar business, no confusion.
None whatsoever.
There's probably a trademark attorney out there going, what is Todd talking about?
Don't know
but
about
I think
my,
I know what I'm talking about.
You don't know about my pickle jar company that I've got.
So hey now.
Right there. Hey now. Now, here's one. Here's a great one I just thought of while we're sitting here. What radio station are we broadcasting the show on? WUPS, which is also United Parcel Service. Now, working at this radio station, we have no affiliation with United Parcel Service whatsoever. Our logo doesn't look anything like theirs. We are not in the service industry business of delivering products or anything like that. We are two totally different operations.
Okay, here's my question.
Okay.
Is it likely to cause confusion in the minds of the consumers about the source or sponsorship of the goods or services offered under the party's mark? There's clearly a difference between the radio station and UPS, although I have been at the station like we are right now in the studio mothership.
Yeah.
And people come thinking it's the
UPS
store.
Yes, they do. That's exactly what they do because they don't think about it. They go, they'll walk in with a package and go, is this UPS? And we're like, yeah, but the UPS place is a couple miles down the road. This isn't us.
I've been approached many times with my vehicle, people saying, can you answer a question for me
about UPS?
United Parcel? Yes. Yeah.
Not anything. But here's the deal. If United Parcel Service had a radio station, we'd be having a totally different discussion. Or if the UPS, the radio station, decided to start getting into the service delivery business.
There's also some call priorities. I mean, if you're going to support a trademark infringement claim in court as the plaintiff, the one bringing a claim, you must prove that it's a valid mark and that you have priority, that you have rights in the mark that are senior to the other party's rights. And that's really important. And again, the likelihood of confusion, the cause of confusion into the minds of the consumer comes into play. I'm a criminal defense attorney. But I just find trademark law so fascinating because everything we use on a date, we use so many products as consumers. And I came across, I love M22. We were talking in the first segment about how I was just racing in the Ortishore, Epic Bike Classic in Marquette. I saw M22 racers everywhere. They're great sponsors, great company, M22.com. And I came upon this story about the state of Michigan suing M22 for trademark infringement, but they took it out of the public domain.
True. Now, here's another question, though, but and this is a good one. This is something I know a lot about. So the fast food chain McDonald's. Do you know the story of McDonald's?
Yes, I saw the show.
You saw the movie, right? Okay. The movie is the two brothers from California, the McDonald brothers, Dick and Mac, came up with a restaurant. Ray Kroc ends up buying it from them, and in turn, he buys their name.
Michael Keaton didn't buy it?
No, wasn't it? It was Ray Kroc.
Oh, he played him in the movie.
Okay. Though. He buys their name. They're not allowed to use their own name to run a restaurant anymore. They have to change it to the Big M. What happens? McDonald's becomes a worldwide phenomenon. That restaurant, the McDonald's brothers, had to close because it went out of business because Ray Kroc opened a McDonald's right across the street. Now, that is a situation, the same kind of a deal.
That was a sad story.
It really was.
No, I mean, the McDonald's family, I don't know the truth to this. I saw the movie.
I saw an interview with the grandson, and the grandson is not really that bitter because had they kept the McDonald's name, and
I'm bitter for them.
Had some kind of a royalty on it or something, they estimated that could be worth over $1 billion in money today had they kept the trademark and just let him use the name, but they got some kind of remuneration for that. Instead, he said they signed it away. They each got their $1 million back in the 1950s. Ray Kroc went on to make a $1 billion industry. But it's interesting because that's exactly the same thing. Their name was in the public domain because it's just their name. They had it on a group of restaurants, but they sold that away. Had I sold my name to Corrine to make the clothes that she makes, she can then use that for whatever she wants. But if I work out a licensing deal with her, much like sports teams use, they do licensing deals with their logos and stuff, that's a totally different animal.
That's a great story.
I try.
Public domain, though. We're talking about trademark law and some other issues here. I have to, again, put forth a disclaimer. We're just having a conversation. Consult with a trademark patent attorney. Also, the USPTO, the United States Trademark Patent Office.com. If you go to the USPTO, it's one of the most amazing websites. You will learn everything there is to know about trademark, patent, or copyright. There's videos, there's forms on there. Again, though, as an attorney, don't rely upon what I'm saying. Contact an attorney or I'll refer you to one. But other than trademark laws, there's copyright laws, there's patent laws, there's trade secret laws. There's a lot of other protections out there that people have. So you may think that you're infringing or protecting yourself via trademark, service mark, when maybe it's a patent you need or something else.
That's right. We deal with this all the time at the radio station. Clients want to record commercials and they want to use copywritten music in their commercials. And you can't do that because the person who wrote the song and the person who gets the royalties for the music is not making any money off of Joe Blow's, you know, muffler shop who wants to use a copywritten song in their commercial. Now, what happens if you want to use a song that's in the public domain, one that has the copyright has run out on?
My understanding that in general, works published after 1977 will not fall into the public domain until 70 years after the death of the author.
That's right.
Am I correct on that?
That is correct.
Okay. So we're talking after 77, but if it's in a public domain, nobody owns it. It's public domain. You can use it.
That's correct. And that is the thing. And we had a situation with
that.
Give
me an example of a song in a public domain.
God Bless America by Kate Smith.
Happy birthday.
That's right. Happy birthday. That one just got settled. That just got changed.
I heard
you
about that.
Could not sing happy birthday in a restaurant. You know, they would have to come up with these restaurants, Chili's, Applebee's, if it was your birthday, they'd have to come up with a different birthday song, or they'd have to pay royalties for the people who own the rights to happy birthday. And that just finally fell out of the domain a couple of years ago. And now you can use that in any kind of application.
I use the Uncle Sam. I mentioned that earlier, mm-hmm. just off yep. the cuff. A couple of years back, I don't know, about 10 years ago, I had a promotion. You know, and I use the Uncle Sam symbol on something.
Okay.
You know, it's always, we want you. You always see the military.
Yeah.
We want
he's
you.
Pointing and he's got
yeah, that's an example of something in a public domain.
Right. And is now. But
Abraham Lincoln's image.
That's in the public domain as well.
George Washington.
Right. Because they've all passed on and the copyrights and anything have fallen out of favor. But a current song or a song that's 20 or 30 years old, you'd have a hard time arguing that with, unless you turn around and work out a deal and pay the person who wrote the song for the right to use it. That's what happens a lot of the times.
So interesting.
Some artists,
you would know that. I would know that.
Totally.
Do any artists just create songs and say, hey, this is for the public domain? Because you can go on YouTube and there's free music on YouTube that you can use to edit your videos and it's in the public domain.
Other artists do the exact opposite. They will create songs completely idealing for the thing that they're going to sell the rights to it to use for commercials and things like that. They said, we write this record because we want to sell it and make money. And that's exactly what they do. They turn around and they license it to anybody and everybody. There's a group called Fits in the Tantrum, and they have a couple of songs out. One's called Hand Clap, one's called The Walker, and they have licensed it for hundreds. Sometimes the artists don't have a say in the matter. Sometimes their record company owns the song and they sell it to everybody and the artist has nothing, they can do nothing about it.
All right, Craig, I want to ask you this.
Okay.
What works have expired into the public domain?
Things like God Bless America, the national anthem, that can be used in a commercial without songs where, like you said it exactly, the artist has to be, or the copyright holder has to have been dead for 70 years. Kate Smith, I think, she didn't write God Bless America. I think Irving Berlin did, but he's been dead for a
you know, there
long
are
time.
There are works that automatically, as we're talking about, enter the public domain upon creation, and they're not copyrightable.
No, right.
Titles, names, short phrases, slogans, familiar symbols, and numbers. But as far as what the question was, what works have expired in the public domain? All works published in the U.S. before 1923.
Okay.
All works published with a copyright notice from 1923 through 1963 without copyright renewal, and all works published without a copyright notice from 23 to 1977. There's some other information, but Congress has passed a series of laws extending the term of copyright. Now, we're talking about something that's copywritten here. We went from trademark to something copywritten because we're talking about music.
And it's
now,
all kind of in the same realm,
but,
though.
But music on a music sheet, that's copyright. That's not trademark.
Correct.
Okay. And currently, the default term is the life of the author plus 70 years to a copyright.
Irving Berlin.
The trademark goes on. By the way, the trademark goes on forever.
A trademark does, yes.
Yeah, copyright, but not the copyright or patent.
That's different. That is different. Hey, when we come back, we've got more law to get to. I don't know if you've got anything else more about this copyright.
No, I've got to get to some information. Okay. Update here in regards to the Michigan Motor Vehicle Code about drinking and driving. You're going to want to stay tuned for this right here on the Todd Elevate Law Show.
Should we go to a break?
Let's go to break. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong with Duran Duran. I love Double D, T-O-double-D, Duran Duran. I'm all about the 80s hair bands music, turning it and burning it and churning it all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Craig Russell.
Now we were talking about music and copyright infringement stuff. We can play that song on this show because we turn around and pay music licensing fees to play music on the show. So we can play that song without any fear of penalty.
People do ask me, how do you have a right to play that music? You just answered it. And by the way, if you missed any portion of today's show,
you're missing a lot.
We didn't talk about 2 weeks running now, any cannabis, any hemp.
Talking about the law.
It hasn't been easy. Well, that is a lot. It hasn't been easy, but we're going to have a lot of updates in the weeks ahead in regards to the regulations coming down from the state of Michigan and all over the country.
Okay.
The first and second segment, we were talking about M22.com. Great company. I wear the brand. Check it out, M22.com, and a trademark infringement case by the state of Michigan. You'll have to catch that on podcast, iTunes, Podbean, SoundCloud. We were talking about what is trademark infringement. We were talking a little bit about copyright. I just wanted a few definitions real quick, and then we have to move on.
Okay.
I'm not a trademark attorney. I'm a criminal defense attorney.
Right.
Everybody knows that. But a trademark is a word, phrase, symbol, or design that identifies and distinguishes the source of the goods from one party or another. There's a service mark. It's used, you know, in a sense to refer to service in the service industry.
Right.
Likelihood of confusion is the standard. A copyright is something that protects original works of authorship, including literary, dramatic, musical, and artistic works, such as poetry, novels, movie songs, computer software, architecture. And the duration of the copyright, by the way, depends on several factors. I'm not going to get into it. We talked about the author plus 70 years. We're getting into that. It's a whole other show. We may never get to. A patent is a limited duration property right relating to an invention, and that's granted by the United States Patent and Trademark Office. Check out the USPTO.com. There's different types of patents. There are design patents, utility patents, all kinds of patents. A very specific area as a lawyer. Many patent attorneys are also engineers. They have engineer degrees, a very specific area. Before we get to this new update on Michigan drunk driving laws, Corrine had a really interesting question for you in regards to cover bands.
Right, for music copywriting, things like that. So,
yes, how do the cover bands get away with playing the songs? Are they doing that legally or?
Well, they can. Cover bands can, depending on what the situation is. Let's say you have a Van Halen cover band named Panama, the tribute to Van Halen. They can get away with performing Van Halen songs. They can do that. Advertising it is a different story altogether. They can't come to the radio station and say, hey, we want to run a commercial and have a bunch of Van Halen songs in it because Van Halen isn't getting paid for those songs being played and promoting this band that thus people are going to pay money to see and they're going to make money off of. You can't promote it. They can do that, but you can't promote it that way unless they work on an agreement with Van Halen. Maybe they're an authorized Van Halen tribute band, and they pay Van Halen X amount of dollars a year to use their likenesses and or the sounds. Then they can do that. There's a famous one called Pink Floyd. I can't remember the name of it. It's a Pink Floyd tribute band. And in the commercial, they say the only authorized Pink Floyd tribute band in the world. They've worked out an agreement with Pink Floyd to pay them to play their music, and thus they can promote it like on a radio commercial or a TV commercial using their music. Otherwise, you can't do that.
Can they call themselves a tribute band and not be in trouble?
They can do that. They can call themselves a tribute band. If they decided to call themselves Van Halen, well, then they would have some problems with that. And that's another part of copyright law, too. Everyone knows the story about George Harrison, My Sweet Lord, and the Chiffons, He's So Fine. There are some things.
Boy, two songs I just don't care for. It's, you know, now they're going to be playing in my head all day. Could you?
But there's a plagiarism thing there. He's So Fine by the Chiffons. And then about 10 years later, George Harrison unconsciously plagiarized that song. The notes and the music are all very similar, a different speed, but very similar. And they found that it was unconscious plagiarism. He didn't try to do it, but it happened. He still ended up having to pay money to them because he reworked their works that they had already done. You can't do that kind of stuff. All right, enough about boring copyright laws and music. Let's talk about drunk driving.
No, this was a great show. You've got to catch it. No, so there's been an update to the Michigan Motor Vehicle Code.
Okay.
We talked about this, I think within the last 6 months. And here it is. There was an individual operating a motor vehicle in his driveway. The case was People versus Rhea. And in this case, the police officers were dispatched to Rhea's house to investigate a noise complaint. Upon arrival, an officer observed the door to Rhea's detached garage open and watched Craig as Rhea backed his vehicle about 25 feet before stopping at a point in his private driveway in line with his house.
Okay.
Rhea then pulled the vehicle back into the garage. Believe it or not, folks, this individual was charged with operating a motor vehicle while intoxicated in his own driveway. He never made it onto the street. There was a noise complaint. He went from the garage, back out, back in. Police arrived for the noise complaint, approached the vehicle, charged with operating while intoxicated, and convicted of operating while intoxicated.
Really?
Absolutely. The case went up to the Court of Appeals, and the Court of Appeals held that because the general public is not widely permitted to access the upper portion of this individual's private driveway, that the operation of his vehicle while intoxicated did not fit within the purview of behavior prohibited under 257.6251, Michigan Connotated Laws, its Motor Vehicle Code. So the trial court, you're guilty. Court of Appeals said you're not guilty. It goes up to the Michigan Supreme Court. And what does the Michigan Supreme Court do, Craig Russell and listeners to the show? Do they agree with the trial court or do they affirm the Court of Appeals?
Court of Appeals.
No.
Oh, really?
The Michigan Supreme Court reversed the Court of Appeals judgment and said that whether a vehicle is operated in a place generally accessible to motor vehicles is dependent upon whether the location is a place that is capable of being reached by a motor vehicle. So the Court of Appeals, let's go back to what the Court of Appeals held.
Right.
The Court of Appeals said this individual cannot be guilty of operating a motor vehicle in his or her own driveway because it's not, general public is not widely permitted to access that upper portion of the driveway. But the Michigan Supreme Court interpreted the law this way and said, yes, you can be charged with drinking and driving in your own driveway even if you go a few feet, because it's a place that is capable of being reached by a motor vehicle.
Anybody.
Not accessible,
anybody.
But being reached by a motor vehicle. Therefore, folks, if you're in your own driveway and you move your vehicle and an officer arrives and determines that you were drinking and operating that motor vehicle, and in the state of Michigan, operating as if the keys are in the ignition and the engine is running. That's operating. You don't even have to move the vehicle as long as the keys are in the ignition. So, I don't agree with the Michigan Supreme Court. I agree with the Court of Appeals. You have two different courts interpreting the statute in two different ways. It's now the law of the land, folks. So you cannot operate a motor vehicle on your own private property because the Michigan Supreme Court feels that, you know, it's generally accessible to motor vehicles.
That's crazy.
That is just not right.
No, it isn't. That isn't. So in other words, what you're saying is if you're going to be intoxicated in your car, don't start it.
Don't drink and drive.
For starters, yeah, don't do that. But if you're going to be, don't start your car. Because if he was just sitting in his car and it wasn't running, they would have no case. Correct? The police would not be able to do anything. If he was sitting in his car intoxicated and it wasn't running, he's not operating.
Are the keys in the ignition?
Ooh, Keys have to be in the ignition?
I would not have those keys in the ignition.
I would have them in your pocket.
But here's the thing. In the state of Michigan, and the state, it just varies state to state, you could leave an establishment, park your car on the side of the road, take your keys and walk hundreds of yards. Law enforcement arrives. You could be charged with drinking and driving. The officer in the state of Michigan does not have to observe you operate that motor vehicle. As long as he or she determines that you operate the motor vehicle on a roadway open to the public, like a public roadway or a parking lot accessible, as we're learning now, to the roadway or by other motor vehicles. So people are getting arrested because they're leaving establishments, they're parking their cars, they're trying to walk home, which is very dangerous. You shouldn't drink and drive in the first place. You could be charged with drinking and driving, but people always want to say, hey, wait a minute. I met someone at the bar. They were driving my car. They took off running. I have no idea who it is. That never passes muster.
That was the exact thing I was going to bring up. You've talked about this before. What happens if it's you and somebody else in the car? The person driving says, oh my God, I forgot my glasses back at the bar. And they stop the car and they get out and go back to the bar and you get out of the car and start walking.
Is it your car?
Maybe, maybe not.
Sure. If it's your car.
Okay.
Can you produce that individual?
Well, quit making good arguments against this.
But here's the thing.
I'm trying to say you're right.
Here's the thing. And I don't, look, I support law enforcement.
I know.
And what I'm about to say, law enforcement will say, I wish he had not said that on the radio. Here's the defense. If you are operating a motor vehicle, let's say you leave a grocery store.
Okay.
Your car breaks down.
All right.
Now you're walking.
Yep.
Someone reports that they saw, and it's, let's say it's 2 a.m. because you worked the third shift and you're getting off of the graveyard shift. You're walking home, you get home. And with your groceries in your hand, you left the grocery store, you're walking with your groceries, you get home, and now you're consuming alcohol. Officers arrive at the front door. They find you intoxicated. They cannot prove, as long if they ask you, were you drinking and driving? If you say, no, I drank when I got home, they can't prove that you were operating a motor vehicle on a public roadway. But typically what happens is somebody will get a ride home, find a way to their house. The officer arrives and says, where were you? We have your car. There was an accident. Were you drinking? Yes, I was at the bar earlier. There's video of you. But some individuals, if they knew what they were saying, would say, no, I drank when I got home. Now you weren't drinking and driving. Make sense?
You just ruined your business. Now anybody will be able to defend themselves. No, I'm kidding. I'm joking.
No, but what my point is, if you drank when you got home, you weren't drinking and driving. Because truthfully, right. You could have drank when you got home. That's not right. At some bar. You left the grocery store. Your car broke down. But you should never drink and drive.
No, you should not.
There's so many tragic stories out there. I don't want to even get into it. You know, I follow 9 and 10 News and other news sources about all these young people getting killed by drinking, you know, drunk drivers. And I do represent drunk drivers, so I don't want to be a hypocrite because you're still entitled to a defense.
Exactly, but you would be better off just not doing it.
I represent a lot of college students. College is coming back. All the parents are moving up.
Next week.
989-772-6000. I never give myself a shameless plug. People always say, Todd, give out your number in case we need to call your office. Todd L. Levitt, attorney at law, the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, 989-772-6000. Misdemeanors, felonies. I represent all the college kids. Talk to Jackie. Talk to Jennifer right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
And next week, going to be the big back-to-school edition.
Big back-to-school show next week. We're going to be going over all the different issues that parents and their young children, young adults,
young college age face
when they move into dorms, what they're allowed to do, what they're not allowed to do. Can you have marijuana in the dorms if you're 21? Can you have alcohol in the dorms if you're 21? MIPs, open intox, noise complaints. Next week, right here on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, featuring Craig Russell from The Morning Hustle 5 days a week, including Saturday.
Which makes 6 days a week.
We got to go.
Show's done.
We got to go.
Have a great day.
We had a great guest.
Bye, Corrine. Thanks.
There's a spider behind you. Look at that spider. Real quick, I know this is eight. Look at that beautiful spider over there here in the middle of the mitten here. Isn't that beautiful?
I don't like him.
You know, that's someone's parent right there. Craig, we got to go.
I know.
Great show.
Show's over.
See you next week. I'm not just a litigator. I'm an advocate. Grand Rantica's out, baby.
Please, please tell me now. Is there please special enough? Is there something special enough? Gotta please tell me now. Please, please tell me
the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Brought to you by Chad Malley Well Drilling of Rosebush. Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder of Mount Pleasant.
Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer. Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs. Happy Hydro in Gaylord and Petoskey, where the happy people go to grow. And Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, offering free estimates and easy financing.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.